This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, this is Frida Liu. You're listening to Race Your Game. We've got Roshan Thiran from Leadonomics joining us today. And we're talking about Albert Einstein. And the topic is how ignorance and simplicity can make you a great leader. So this is leadership lessons from Albert Einstein.
That's right. What
was it that he has a quote, right? The world as we have created is a process of our thinking. It cannot be changed without changing our thinking. So why are we looking into the life of Mr. Yeah. Albert Einstein today?
Yeah, seems like a sign. I mean, what you learned from scientists on leadership. But it's very interesting because, you know, there's this famous American businessman called JCPenney who started this chain called JCPenney's. And he said this once, you know, give me a stock clerk with a goal and I'll give you a man who will make history. Give me a man without a goal and I'll give you a stock clerk. And it's funny because this guy, Albert Einstein, was German-born, but then became a Swiss. His job was essentially a patent clerk. So, I mean, essentially, he was like a stock clerk. And he was born in 1879, you know, lived to 1955. And he would be, he's one of those guys who had a goal, I mean, just like Albert Einstein said, and ultimately changed the world of science and changed our understanding of the world itself. And Einstein, you know, was an iconoclastic genius, right? I mean, it not just in physics, but in a number of other discoveries. I think the most famous is his theory of relativity, the E equals MC squared. This actually laid the groundwork for atomic power and the atomic bomb, the A bomb. And if you think about it today, a world without Albert Einstein might be a world without GPS, TVs, digital cameras, internet, smartphones. I mean, a lot of the technology actually traces back its roots to Albert Einstein's contribution. And he was born in Germany, I told you, in Wartenberg in Germany. And he was always very inquisitive, very curious, very, you know, always was searching for answers about the world. And I know there's a lot of stories about how he struggled at his school. He was in this Luitpold gymnasium in Munich. And people often mistake him as not a smart person academically. But actually, he struggled in school not because he was not smart, but because he was this restless, rebellious character. Had this rebellious mind. And, you know, in German schools, very regimented regimes.
And along comes Albert Einstein.
Yes, and so he
and
was...
And his hair.
Well, that was much later. I think, but he never really adapted to that regimented system of schooling, and that's why people kind of, you know, oh, this guy was a fit, you know, kind of couldn't, was lousy in school, and somehow he became the greatest scientist ever. But that's, you know, a little bit about Einstein and how he came from Germany and then moved out to Switzerland and became a stock or a patent clerk essentially.
Right. You know? So how did he become famous?
Yeah, and it's quite an interesting story because he first renounced his German citizenship in 1896. He became a Swiss citizen in 1901. He was very academic inclined. So he's looking for academic jobs, basically to do research, but he couldn't find a single academic job in Switzerland at that point in time. And so he decided to work as a patent clerk. And the reason why he did this job, he said, hey, this job is pretty cool because it's only a few hours and it's an easy job. I mean, I don't have to crack my brain. I mean, it's really an easy job. And so that he could spend the rest of his time, the free time, on research. And that's really why... And he did that. So he was this patent clerk filing patents and doing that stuff. And then on the side, he'll do his own research, ask questions, you know, look at his watch and say, why is time like this? And, you know, and so on and so forth, right? And 1905 was his miracle year. Miracle in the sense that this is the year that he published a lot of works. One of the works that he published was in this prestigious German academic journal. This actually led to him later in 1921, I think, to win the Nobel Prize. And this was what his first exploration in what became known as the theory of general relativity, that later led to E equals MC squared. So in 1921, he actually won the Nobel Prize, and that really propelled him to greatness. Right. So he won the Nobel Prize for physics, and he continued to do research in the field of physics. And about 12 years later, he was in Germany. He had to flee from Nazi Germany, and he ran to America, and he was very lucky. I mean, he ended up getting an academic post. I mean, he was again famous now. He was a Nobel Prize winner, and the American University Princeton actually grabbed him, and he actually worked there, researched there, until he died in 1955. In fact, he actually laid the foundation for the atomic bomb. So in 1939, where the middle of World War II, he started to write to the president at that time, in Roosevelt, and he told him that, hey, German nuclear capability was quite amazing. I mean, he knew a little bit about it, and he started to get you know, suggested, I mean, he and this guy, his partner, Leo Szilard, they suggested to the US to begin, you know, some sort of exploratory, but not so much as to use it for war, but more of a defensive approach. And it was called this Manhattan Project. So it had its roots with Einstein and Szilard really writing to Roosevelt and asking them to. But Einstein never played a role in Project Manhattan. He refused to embark on it because he took a stand. I mean, he's a bit of a pacifist. So he took a stand that no way am I going to be involved in the destruction of the world.
He went to Switzerland, didn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, stay neutral. Right. But he didn't play any part in the Manhattan Project. But the idea in itself came because he kind of helped describe some of the nuclear capabilities that the Germans were working on. You know?
So you're talking about his colleague, Leo Szilard. So what can we learn from Einstein on leadership?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things quickly. I just very quickly, in 1945, there was this big bomb in Hiroshima and Nagasaki. And Einstein immediately saw what Project Manhattan had turned out to be. And he became a very strong advocate for the restricted usage of the atomic bomb. He believed it can only be used as a deterrent against future conflict, but not as a... And he took a very big stand. And I think the first thing I learned is straight about that great leaders. I mean, he took a stand early on in childhood that I'm not going to study this way. Because you know, education is about curiosity. Here, he took a stand about the atomic bomb, and I think number one, I think great leaders take stands and take they're very clear about their opinion, and they take stands even though it may not be popular, even though it may actually get them kicked out of school, you know. But they take a stand, and I think that's important in leadership. There are a lot of leaders don't take a stand. I mean, we look at YMDB, we look at all these things, right? Leaders don't take a stand, right, and allow little things to seep in, and little by little, it becomes bigger and bigger and bigger.
Because I don't know is not an answer.
Yeah, I mean, you can take a stand, like, regardless, you can take a stand. Like, I think Einstein took a stand. And I think it's interesting. He's a scientist who's not even trained. I mean, he's not a leader, doesn't run a company. But in different pockets of his life, he took a stand. I think number two, you know, after World War II, Einstein focused a lot of his efforts into finding this unified field of theory, a unified theory that would explain the workings of the universe. And of course, Stephen Hawking later proved him right and wrong. And he did this. You know, he was committed to his work all through his life, often being recluse and immersing himself and shunning the spotlight. And I think many times we become leaders or great leaders, or we become famous because of the work that we do. So we do something well, and we take an organization and we build it, and we're passionate about the mission and the vision and the work. And over time, the spotlight takes over, and we then get immersed in the spotlight, and we forget that the work is more important. And I think number two, is that great leaders actually prefer to focus on the work, always focus on the work and not really the spotlight. Right. And I think leaderships get derailed all the time because of the spotlight. And this happens all the time. And you see Einstein, even though he won the Nobel Prize, even though here he was the guy who, you know, kind of instigated Project Manhattan, essentially World War II ended because of that. And yet, he never really wanted the spotlight. It's all about his work. You know, once he figured this one, what's the next big mystery? Oh, the mystery of the universe. Let me figure out that mystery. And he may be right, wrong, but he kept focusing on his work, and I think that's important. And then finally, the third piece is really about legacy. And you know, he died in 1955 of heart failure at the age of 76. And you know, this is what he told a doctor before he died, because he refused to take surgery. He said, "Look, I want to go when I want. It is tasteless to prolong life artificially. I have done my share. It is time to go. I will do it elegantly."
Serious.
And I think that all of us, we know that we've contributed the world. We have done something. We then have to know that
it's time to step down.
To go and it's time to move on. And I think that's what legacy is, right? Legacy is not about staying there and continuing, you know, being there. It's about being productive and leaving something for the next generation to take and build on and so on.
Unless they want you back.
but even then, if you know, I mean, and I think this is interesting because later I'll talk a little bit about this. Einstein was once offered, he's a Jew, right? He was offered to be the prime minister of Israel's second prime minister. And he was very objective and said, "Look, this is what he said. I don't have, I lack the natural aptitude and the experience to deal properly with people. So forget it, right?" So I mean, he you know where you stand, right? And I think that's what great leaders do. They know where they stand. Right?
So okay, some great thoughts to ponder. What other lessons can we learn from Einstein?
Yeah, actually, there's tons. I mean, as I was, you know, going through all his work, and I think, you know, one of the things is his legacy still inspires generation of scientists. I mean, how many leaders can say that the stuff that you've built actually continues to be built on and continues to be used generations and generations on. And I think one of the biggest, I think three big qualities, three big leadership qualities that I find amazing in him. Number one is this quality of curiosity. And here's, I quote him, he says this, "I have no special talent, I am only passionately curious." And this is Einstein quote, right? So he was always asking questions, always in a state of objective uncertainty. So it's this objective uncertainty. I told you before, he rejected this thing, you know, because he was objective and said, look, I won't be a good prime minister in Israel. So he was very objective. But he's also, I'm not certain, I don't know, I don't understand. You know, he kept saying many times that I'm really the person who has no answers. Let me find out what the answers are. So it's important, I think, that whole curiosity, and it stems from knowing that you don't know. I think that's important. You know? I think the second piece is perseverance, right? And this is why it tails off from curiosity, right? It's not that I'm so smart. It's just that I stay with problems longer. And this is what Einstein says. So I think so much of, if you really look at success, right? And I've seen this, you know, it's like, how did this guy become successful? Because you're like, wait a minute, this guy doesn't, like, it's not such a great business model. It's nothing awe-inspiring, but here's a billionaire, right? And he's like, he just stayed very focused. Okay, I'm going to work on this property thing and just do now. I did one, let me do two, let me do three, let me do four. I keep going and going. And I think as you stay longer with problems, you solve it. As you stay longer in business and in an industry, or you become better and you become success, I think it comes from the ability to keep pushing on in the face of adversity. I think a lot of people fail, not because they're not good or not smart. I mean, many people are, but because they give up on their goals. And I think Einstein was the opposite end of that spectrum, very tenacious to his very last breath. And that I think is important. And the final piece is imagination. And here's, again, I quote Einstein, right? He said this, "Imagination is more important than knowledge." Right? So I mean, while knowledge is useful, it's also limited, often short-lived, because new knowledge comes in and replaces, you know, the new replaces the old. And the other piece is that Einstein really believed that imagination can take us anywhere and develop our minds to ask the right questions that haven't been previously considered. And here's what Einstein, it's interesting, I read this, right? Einstein suggested this, right? He says, parents, if you want your children to become more intelligent, here's what he says, right? And everybody will be like, okay, yeah, I want my child to be more intelligent. So, and this is what he says, like, okay, if you want your child to be more intelligent, read more fairy tales or read them fairy stories or fairy sort of, you know, basically stories, right? Now, and he adds this one, if we want them to be even more intelligent, he advises that we read them even more fairy tales or even more fairy stories, right? And I find this very interesting, right? And you know, I think knowledge can tell us what's impossible, but imagination helps us to transform the impossible into possible or extraordinary, right? And that's what it's and you Walt Disney, I mean, they all had this impossible, right? But they had this imagination, this vividness, this belief that, yeah, I can solve it. I mean, how can you solve universe? You can't even, you're looking for a telescope and how can you solve the problems of the universe? I have the imagination. And that enables you to start thinking and dreaming and then having that belief helps you to start and saying, maybe it's possible. And then it becomes, yes, I am possible. You know?
I like that one though. It's not that I'm so smart, it's just that I stay with problems longer. And a lot of us just give up so quickly, right? We're talking about leadership lessons from Albert Einstein with Roshan Tim from Leadernomics. Stay tuned for more on Race Again, BFM 89.9.
Building first world mindsets. BFM 89.9.
You're listening to Race Again. Good morning. Frida Liu here. Roshan Tiram from Leadernomics. We're talking about leadership lessons from Albert Einstein, how ignorance and simplicity can make you a great leader. So we talk about some of the traits that he believes in, being curious, having perseverance and imagination. He seems to also advocate that he has no special talent. What lessons can we also learn on leadership from this?
Yeah, so I think if you look at all three, right, curiosity, perseverance, and imagination, right, I think they all stem from one truth. Great leaders, and it's shocking, right, great leaders know they are ignorant, right? So, and you heard that, right? Great leaders actually know they are ignorant. Einstein actually highlights something we generally hear from a lot of great leaders. Most of the great leaders say they don't know. And because they don't know, this drives them to learn more. And that drove Einstein's insatiable curiosity. His perseverance was driven by the belief that he lacked knowledge. And because you know, when we read a lot of Einstein's journals and letters, he always states, I don't know the answer. I don't know. So, which means that I need to start learning, which means, and this happened all the way till he was in his 60s and 70s, right? It's always, I don't know. Let me figure it out. Let's learn more. Let's explore. And I think many of us, as we grow older, we tend to learn less. We learn much younger in our younger days, you know, but as we age, we believe that we have moved away from this gathering knowledge, and now it's about impacting wisdom, or it's about giving wisdom, and you know. But our wisdom is as good as the knowledge, and like I said, knowledge keeps changing, right? Yeah. Content keeps changing, context keeps changing, and when we stop gathering knowledge, we become actually less wise. And as the new things in the world, I mean, wow, Industry 4.0, you know, things keep changing all the time, right? But if we're not accumulating knowledge, if we're not accumulating understanding, if we're not challenging ourselves to learn, right, we then become not as good. And I think Einstein remained wise by always constantly telling himself, I'm ignorant. I don't know enough. I don't know anything. Ah, I'm stupid, you know. I'm not so clever. I'm the stupidest guy in the room, you know. I've heard different leaders like, I must always remind myself that I'm the stupidest guy in the room. You know, one of the leaders kept telling me that. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I never really thought much about it. I'm like, yeah, you're right. I mean, Einstein did the same thing, right? You must always tell, because it's easy to be elevated, right? Because the spotlight's on you. Wow, you've won a Nobel Prize. Wow. You know, it's easy to say I'm the wisest man in the room.
Right.
And feel...
And then rest on your laurels.
And also feel arrogant and okay, you come here to impart, but when you do that, you're not listening, you're not actually catching stuff, you know. I spent some time with Ram Charan, who's a very famous consultant, and he writes a lot of books. I think it's 30 old books he's written. So I was asking Ram, you know, here am I interviewing Ram, I got some questions to ask you. And then he turns around and says, Roshan, you and GE, right, let me ask you about your talent pipeline. Let me ask you about this. And then he went on for the next 45 minutes asking me questions. And I'm like, wait, what's happening here? And then it's like, then I started thinking, I'm like, exactly. That's why he's so great. It's because he keeps asking questions. Even though I'm there to get wisdom from him, but he flips it around and here's him trying to get a bit of wisdom from me, right? And I think that is what leaders are. They're always driven to learn. And so the big question is, are we driven to learn? Are we always saying that we are do we have the attitude that I'm the most ignorant person in this room? I'm the stupidest guy in the room. So what can I learn? Mm. You know, what can I learn from the clever people here in this room? Mm. And I think that itself was such a big, big lesson to draw from Einstein.
I like, you know, I think, what was it, when you say you're ignorant, it's like there's so much I don't know, right? I mean, there's so much that I don't know. There's so much of the world I don't know. And I don't know what I don't know.
Absolutely.
So I've got to find out.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yeah. And that attitude, right? I mean, that's the key, right?
Yeah.
Is to have that attitude.
Oh, and but whether you think you're the most ignorant, but like you can learn from everybody you meet. That's another that's another attitude to have, right? A 3-year-old can teach you something you don't know, right? Because they look at the world in a very different way, right? Because we're jaded and, you know, baggaged and all that, right? So another aspect you spoke about was Einstein's belief in the power of simplicity.
You know, here's another quote by Einstein. Any intelligent fool can make things bigger, more complex.
Yeah.
It takes a touch of genius and a lot of courage to move in the opposite direction. And he kept doing that, right? He kept simplifying things. He kept making things accessible, making things less complex. And I think in our ever complex world, right, we can learn from Einstein about simplicity or to simplify. I think to him, right, the best solutions were the simple ones. And I think if you look at the best business models, we see so complicated ones, but the more and more, you know, as I grow and as I learn, right, the most simple ones are the most effective.
That was it.
And as they become bigger, they become more complex. Let's put this up, let's that. And it becomes, people don't get it, you know, and that's okay. I mean, some things have to be complex, but I think the business models, the processes, right? When you have processes for your employees, the structures you build in your companies, if it's simple, everyone gets it, it's easy, you all move in the one direction. Your culture, you know, we have this and sometimes this and that. I'm like, nobody gets it, right? Then it's not really, you know, it's even leadership, right? It's about making things simple. It's about clarity, helping things be clarified, right?
I know I'm a visual person, so I say, if a person can tell me the story visually, right? I mean, a piece of paper and I get it, right? That simplifies it as well.
Absolutely, right? And I think great leaders, they execute seamlessly because they make things simple, and they make things simple for everyone, right? And I think no complexity drives easy communications, easy change. And but the hard part is this, you know, it's very hard to simplify. It takes, you know, it's when I write, right, I always say it's harder to edit down. It's easy to write 5,000 words and just write, but it's all over, right? I mean, it's but to make it down to 1,000 words and have as much of an impact and as much, right, of meat, right, is what makes writing really good, right? Mm. It's when you really edit and simplify and yet has the essence of taking 5,000 words and making it to 1,000. And that's power, right? Because that's where that's a secret to success. And I think Einstein knew the secret of success. Simplify, keep things simple. And I think the question to us is, do we drive simplicity in every part of our lives and in our organization? Is there simplification, an effort to simplify and make things simple? You know, I think that was a big lesson that you could see from all aspects of Einstein life.
Mm. Final thoughts on the genius.
Yeah, you know, so I think a final lesson from Einstein was his humility to accept that he was human, and he actually made mistakes. And his biggest mistakes, which we now know today, probably 100 years later, may not have been a mistake after all, was surrounding, you know, his predictions about the expanding universe. We talked about his research, right? You know, when another scientist, Edward Hubble, he proved that the universe is expanding, Einstein immediately ditched his theory and admitted that that was his greatest blunder. It was not like, no, I came up with excuses, and, you know, back then we didn't have telescopes as big. I think great leaders quickly realized their mistakes and they learn from it, and they admit it and they use it to build themselves. And I think, again, this is Einstein's humility, his ability to understand that I'm not perfect, and, you know, God created us in such a way that we all fall and we all make mistakes. And I think the question is, do we really admit when we are wrong? Do we use these mistakes to build ourselves up? Are we learning daily? Are we being simple in all we do? And I think if we can emulate Einstein, we will surely be a great leader. It's incredible. Here's a Nobel Prize winner for physics teaching us different aspects of leadership. You know?
All right. Thanks for being with us, Roshan Tiran from Leadernomics. How ignorance and simplicity can make you a great leader. Lessons in leadership from Albert Einstein. This has been Raise Your Game. I'm Frida Liu, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.